they came from France. And one of them, one of them is the, the top, probably the top museum designer in the world, John Andre. George Odier is, went down as a professional skier and gigolo in Aspen, Colorado, until he retired, got too old. And Robert Brandy went back to France and became an archaeologist and has several well-known cave discoveries to us. His name. But it all started in that, and we're still just as tight as that.
Is that right? And John Andre went back to France as well?
No, he stayed in Victoria, and he designed the Royal Victoria Museum as his designer. And he left that, went into consulting. He lives in, well, he has a villa in Provence, and he lives in Victoria and Saanich. And still, he turned his business, consulting business, over to his kids, but he's done.
Obviously, he mastered the English language through all of this.
Yeah, and he doesn't have a PhD. He has nothing except he's the most creative person. And he's in a field, the museum field, is academically, you've got to have this kind of stuff. He doesn't. And he's looked upon. I've been to his house when young people come in with this, like he's the guru. They sit at his feet and listen to him. Incredible. He just finished it. His last project was the big museum, the designing museum in Hong Kong when was turned over to the Chinese government.
Mm.
But he's done the Holocaust Museum, he's done just every big one in the world, NASA.
Where did he get his architectural training? Mm. No engineering background?
But he's a designer. What he does, he comes up with the theme, then those people develop it from there. But he's the idea guy. He visualizes what it's going to be, and he's the creative.
And someone else just makes it work.
Yeah, and that's what happens.
Interesting.
If you've been to the Royal Victoria Museum, you know what that's like. And at its day, it was on the cutting edge. It was a lot like it. But he was, he's a, but anyway, all of this started in that little community. So those are the things that came out of that. And as I say, we're still all really tight.
How long did they live with him, these three guys?
About probably 3 to 4 years.
Oh.
Different, two in some cases. But it, and they lived out in the bush in a little shack.
Speaking of other people that live there, Bob, would you mind going through that list? You may have already taken a look at it, but can you go through that list and see if there's anybody else that you think might be around, or if there's any contacts, names or numbers that you have?
We lived next door to them for a year and a half, and we never saw them there.
Hmm.
Now you could, it was from here, our house to his house was from here to the corner of the office, and we never saw them. He was
always out in the bush.
No, he never left his cabin. He was retired then, he was an old man, but he loved astronomy, so he was only out at night. He'd sleep all day, he had his telescope, and he'd watch the stars, and he was reclusive and stay by himself. I shouldn't say I never saw him. I went over once, and my mom baked him some cookies, and I opened the door, and he had a revolver in there. So I got the hell out. But the creek was in his property, and it was understood that we could use that. He never gave us permission. He never shot us either. And he used the same hole, and I'd have to go in there, chop the ice out every morning to get the water pools and stuff, and he probably appreciated that. But we never saw that guy. Years later, when Clarence and Alden moved in there, Clarence went over and saw the same thing, and he knew Clarence, because Clarence had lived there all his life, 100 yards away, practically. He knew Clarence's dad, who had been a trapper. But he came to the the thing with the revolver too. And then Clarence got to know this guy. He made him. Clarence is that kind of a guy. That's not going to stop. Now he's challenged. He's got to got to make friends with this guy because that's the kind of fellow he is. So he went over there and he made friends with his grandkid. And then after that, he had to go over there every day and play cards with him. But the point was, Clarence asked him after he knew him, he said, why do you, why don't you have any friends? And Rankin said, well, if you don't have friends, nobody can let you down. Now that is an antisocial, wouldn't
an outlook on life.
But wouldn't somebody like to get a hold of his head? But that was obviously he had a huge disappointment somewhere, and they're probably a woman or whatever. And he just went, became reclusive. Once Clarence got the key to him, and then he was totally dependent on Clarence. And Clarence had to go over there every day, which he didn't want to. But
and he's no longer alive?
No, he died some years ago. He was in his 80s then. But the point is, you've got, there's people like that in those communities. And they're quite unique. They probably exist in the city, but you never have that chance to
because of the
them.
Size of the community,
size
you got to meet them and hear their stories.
And anyway, that was all important. And that's what Crazy Man's Creek is. It's Jackie.
Based on that.
Yeah, and Jackie lost his eye.
He said he'd had an operation, but I didn't ask him what had happened, Bob. What? He didn't say he'd lost it. He just said he'd had.
Well, no, he's
supporting single parents in the community. Did you know of any in Penny at all? Was that a factor in the social life?
No, I can't. Single parents would have probably had a difficult time out there. There was no. Who would look after the
kids?
You have to work, because you're working class people.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a single parent. Who would look after the kids?
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of. Oh, okay. Yeah. There was one family where the mother died, and the community kind of looked after the kids, like all the other mothers did. But the mother died, and Steve worked in the mill and that sort of thing. So the community kind of brought up the kids, but it wasn't usual.
Mm-hmm.
If a spouse died, then people usually moved away because it was probably easier somewhere else. Like there was no formal daycare or anything like that available then, so it was would have been pretty tough, particularly in a community like that would have been. So I can't think of any except maybe in the Colonel's case.
Also, was Steve Felder?
Yeah.
So how much longer did he stay in Penny after his wife?
Well, he lived there until he retired.
Oh, okay. So the community just pulled together and helped him out.
He came there as a single man. He came there, I think, about the same time Barbara's mother and dad did, and that was 1920s. And he probably left in the early 50s when he retired. But I'm not sure, but I know that he never left, and the kids were probably, and I don't even know how old they were when mother passed on. But that's the only one I can think of. As I say, if there was a divorce or something like that, then people were probably moved out of the community because it would have been very hard to live there as a single parent.
So was divorce not common, but known, I mean, of?
Well, in those places there was a certain Peyton Place kind of thing. You know, there was, people are people. And there was that, infidelities and things like that. But usually they moved away, if they got into those, into a situation that it probably wouldn't be comfortable for them to stay there, But there, there was the call it hanky-panky or whatever, that went on. of course, any community would put people together. But, and there was probably common law liaisons were not nearly as, I mean, you know, my son, for instance, was, you know, before he got married, he was in that relationship for 5 years, probably before he and Linda got married and started to have children. Well, if Barbara and I had done that, and you know, just the different times, if we had done that, we'd have been, well, I don't know, we just wouldn't have done it, because the constraints of society were such that was just not done. And, you know, we, matter of fact, on Mike and Linda, I thought, you know, they were being probably very sensible. You know, no, for the time, no, for the times, and they at least had an opportunity to live together and get to know each other, and the relationship never changed by getting a marriage certificate. I mean, you know, but I mean, it makes it a little even more comfortable when they start having children.
Yeah, right.
Or grandkids. But other than that, that didn't bother us. Mm-hmm. But in those days, oh, it really was a shock to our parents. You know? And it shocked all our friends, too. But that's just how things changed. But it's not a big deal now. But there were probably liaisons like that out there, but people weren't around. Everybody pretended they were around.
Well, I hate to cut this short, but I've got to go.